Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Platinum Sombrero, brought to you by our friends at Armchair All-Americans, our friends at Tegna, and the Odyssey Group, the Locked On Podcast Network, helping you follow your favorite teams every single day across all of your favorite sports. Maybe it's baseball, maybe it's football, maybe it's basketball or hockey. I don't really know. What I do know is the Locked On Podcast Network has a show dedicated to your favorite team, helping you keep up to date in ways that maybe you just don't want to do on your own. Just follow along with your favorite shows, like and subscribe to them, so you can be kept up to date whenever a new episode drops. The Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download on iOS and Android now, by the way. And once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, insiders, all of that in real time, essentially making you a part of your favorite program or your favorite sport. I'm going to be hosting Locker Rooms for Locked On Braves every Thursday, 9 p.m. I did one last night. And yes, you can join in on the conversation, because I am going to basically allow everybody to talk. I like to make it a nice little powwow. It's the perfect place for you to start or join a conversation about the league. You can find fun new friends, people whose perspectives you haven't heard before. You can really feel like you are involved in it. You're going to have the chance to chat with me and a bunch of other listeners from Locked On Braves. And even you can just peruse all the rooms and find yourself new people to listen to as well. Make sure you join me next week. I'll be hosting a room on Thursdays at 9 p.m. every single week. All you got to do, just download the free app. It is free. It is free-fitty. Currently available on all iOS and Android devices. Just create a profile, link your Twitter, and join your favorite group, whether that be NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, whatever, for all the latest league updates. Follow me at DylanXShort to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it, so I'm planning on doing this again every Thursday, 9 p.m. I'm going to be doing a Locker Room. Make sure you tune in, and you can be part of it as well. Locked On Podcast Network. All right, so today's day is a very fun episode. The Braves just swept the hapless Washington Nationals in a series that they really needed, because they frankly had not been playing good baseball. So luckily, after sweeping the Nationals, you finish the road trip 3-3. You wash the taste of that Toronto series out of your mouth after getting swept by Toronto, who, by the way, they are a good team. Their record doesn't really reflect it right now, but they've got a lot of talent, particularly offensively. The more depressing point was you let their pitching kind of slow you a little bit, which their pitching is not good at all. But offensively, they're a team that can hang with anybody. So I'm not as upset about losing to them as I would have been with Washington, who did not use Juan Soto as a starter in any of the games in this series, despite the fact that they activated him yesterday, or a couple days ago, actually. But the Braves get three very good starting outings to sweep Washington, and that's really what I was looking to see. I just wanted to see the Braves pitchers start to kind of reclaim a little bit with how talented they are. And of course, it starts off with Waskar Noah, who, as I've mentioned numerous times, he is the guy this year. But on Wednesday, we ended up getting Max Fried back, and Max looked a lot better. He looked a lot more like the Max Fried we're used to seeing. Five innings, four hits, only one earned run, one walk. The earned run was a homer that was pretty well blasted, but he also had six Ks in his five innings, and that was a lot more like the Max Fried I was looking to see. We didn't see the breaking ball as much. He didn't throw the curveball as much. Didn't really have to, but he lowered his ERA down 3 points to 8.44. His whip is now 2.06, and that was a very, very promising start for him. Looking to see him keep that going. Definitely looked like he was a little bit gassed by the fourth. He ended up throwing 72 pitches, which is right around the mark I had him pegged him back coming off. It's been about a month for him. So he wasn't the sharpest I've ever seen him, but he was the sharpest he'd been this year, and it was just a nice way to see him go out there and grind. The Braves win that game 5-3 in what was the closest game of the series, aside from yesterday, actually. So I should say yesterday was the closest. But the good thing about yesterday is Drew Smyly came out there, so everybody, myself included, probably thought, all right, well, we're probably going to drop this one. Well, Drew went out there, and he pitched his best ball game of the year, his best ball game as a Brave. Six innings pitched, four hits, one run unearned. Four walks, which I need to see him kind of get that going, but also had the 4Ks, dropped his ERA to a 6.12 and his whip to a 1.48. Really good outing from him. Very encouraging outing, and he really needed it because he was about to get bumped into the bullpen with a quickness. So for him, it was very, very important to get to that point. But the bullpen, aside from Edgar Santana, the bullpen pitched really, really well. Edgar Santana did get the hold, but he only went a third of an inning, allowed two hits, and an earned run with a walk. I think he's going to be fine. I like what I've seen from him stuff-wise, but it's the second year coming back from Tommy John, so command is probably going to be an issue for a while. Luke Jackson got a hold. He went one inning, allowed one hit. Grant Dayton pitched very, very well. Two-thirds of an inning, two strikeouts, including one that had D-Rose set off about how, oh, it was a bottle of Robles. Well, didn't keep the same energy from what had been happening to the Braves. So you know what? I don't really care, Mark DeRosa. He can suck it. If he'd been looking to swing the bat, maybe he wouldn't have been rung up. Will Smith gets his seventh save. Made it a little bit dicey. Allowed a hit. Also had a strikeout. But overall, good win for the Braves as they're able to sweep Washington as they head into back home tonight to start a series with Philadelphia. Now, if the Braves manage to somehow sweep this series, then they will end up in first place in the division. I don't exactly think I'm going to suggest that, but you'll get Zach Eflin versus Charlie Morton tonight, as Charlie's going to look to maybe go a little bit longer than usual, cut out some of these bad innings, and look to get himself right. If the starting rotation can actually kind of get to what we all think they should be starting in the month of May, then this Braves team is going to go on a big run. And I'm kind of expecting that. The offense, they're starting to pick up. You're starting to see some of these other guys start to hit the ball a little bit. We're going to talk about that a little bit more as we go forward on today's episode. It's not just Acuna went 1-for-4. Ozzie's been hitting much better, went 1-for-3. Marcelo Ozuna is starting to put much better swings on the ball, and that's what I'm looking to see from him. The slugging's going to jump up. The OPS is going to jump up. I think May is going to be a big month for him. Austin Riley, we know what he's been doing. Maybe he's starting to cool just a little bit from that pace he was on, but he's still got elite numbers right now. Dansby, they got to get him going because he's been awful. Adrianza playing a little bit. Pache kind of needs to start getting going here. He's putting better swings on the ball. It really hasn't turned into what we've been expecting. He's starting to strike out a little bit more. But Freddie is obviously the key. We got to get Freddie going. If the Braves can get Freddie going, that's going to help get Marcel going as well, and that's going to make this lineup much more difficult for opposing teams to navigate. And I have no doubt it's going to happen for Freddie. It just needs to happen soon. Freddie got the day off yesterday, which I thought was a very smart move on the case of Brian Snicker. So I'm sure we'll see Freddie in there tonight against Eflin. Eflin, heavy, heavy sinker ball guy, so we'll see how that goes. The Braves traditionally haven't had a ton of luck off of Eflin really this past year and a half or so. But overall, if you're talking about your rotations, this is a pretty good rotation for what the Braves are going to have versus Philly. So it'll be Morton versus Eflin tonight. It'll be Ian Anderson versus Vince Velasquez on Saturday. And then on Sunday, that's going to be the matchup that you want to watch. That's going to be Aaron Nola versus Wascar Noah, and that's going to be on the StatCast broadcast on ESPN2 on Sunday night. That is going to be one that I am really, really tuning into. But we got a lot of stuff to cover today. We're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to take a look and really talk about that Max Fried outing a little bit more and just how important that is for him. We'll probably talk about Smiley a little bit too. And then we'll talk about the NL East as a whole and just what a disappointment it's been. So don't go anywhere. We will be back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Hey, everybody. It is Dylan from Locked On Braves here to tell you about my friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is a phenomenal, phenomenal protein bar. You guys know I say it all the time because they are absolutely incredible. Built Bars are the perfect texture for the perfect protein bar. Amazing, amazing taste flavor profiles. You're not going to find these from anybody else. I can promise you, you're not going to find birthday cake and churro and raspberry cheesecake and all of these sorts of 36,000 different flavors they have. You're not going to find them from your traditional protein bar outlet because Built Bar is not your traditional protein bar. It's an emphasis on flavor and texture that you do not see from the lazy protein bar community. If you don't believe me, all you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com, build your own box, and try them out for yourself. Try all the different flavors. Find the one that you like, and you can make sure that you are always having a really good, really healthy protein bar, whether it's just for meal replacement or pre or post workout, whatever. Built Bars are perfect for you. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON15, you're going to get a nice surprise at checkout. That is BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON15. Try them today. Go to BuiltBar.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Sports Trade. If you guys haven't heard about Sports Trade, it is amazing. It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's basically Robin Hood for fantasy sports. The platform allows you to buy and sell shares of your favorite players just like you would be doing with stocks. It's a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports, show everybody how smart you are, make some money off of it. And they just added baseball to the platform, so you need to go check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade is pretty simple, as player values rise and fall based on how they perform and how often people are buying them. So the more fantasy points they score that day, the higher their value goes. Good old supply and demand. That's basically all it is. That's how everything works. The more demand a player has, the higher their value is. And we're ready to buy shares, pick a penny stock and a rookie, I don't know, or maybe shell out a little bit more for an established veteran. You decide how you want to do it. All you got to do is go to Sports Trade. You can buy that blue chip prospect. You can buy that super rookie, whoever you want. Then watch your battles. Watch your players battle and watch your portfolio rise and feel like an absolute genius. All you got to do, go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, then sign up to get started. It is super, super easy. Go today. Go to sportstrade.com, watch the video, sign up, and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. All right, everybody, welcome back into the program here on Locked On Braves. We were just talking about the quick overview of the sweep, so let's dig into it a little bit more. Also, should note that minor league baseball is officially back. Got a lot going on in the minors, had some really, really good outings. Before we dig into the major league stuff, we can take a look at that a little bit. Michael Harris has picked up right where he left off from spring training, absolutely playing far above his experience level, looking like the next great prospect. Drew Waters has been pretty decent so far. There's been some hiccups in the outfield. He's kind of taking a little bit more to get off to the plate, but he's running well. He's hosing some people from the outfield. I'm expecting a huge year from Drew Waters. I think that he is really, really going to shine this year. Starting to see from the pitching a little bit, Ricky DeVito, a guy to keep your eye on down there in A-ball. He was very, very talented, very, very good. His splitter is really, really good, pitched very well. Tyler Owens got to get in the game. He is a guy that I am going to really watch this year. He's a little bit of a smaller guy, but there's a lot of talk about his delivery. I actually tend to like it. I think it's a pretty delivery. I think it's very nice. Also a guy that has triple digits. He's a little bit of a smaller frame, so you're going to hear the reliever risk. And if the Braves do decide to go that route with him, he'll fly through the system. If they keep him a starter, probably going to take 3 years or so, but he's a guy that's very, very fun to watch. Victor Vodnik starting at Double A. You're getting a lot of guys. Bryce Wilson was dominant in his Gwinnett start last night. We got to see Sean Newcomb get in the game there. Chris Martin got in the game there. Overall, you're starting to see some of the pitching stuff. The Braves may be making some decisions on some guys here soon, but it's good to see. And there's a lot of guys to watch in the minor leagues. Jared Schuster, the Braves' first-round pick from last year, he'll go tonight. I'm very interested to see Schuster and see what he sits at. Because before the draft, he was topping at 97, which is not something that he typically did the season before or the summer before. So I'm kind of interested to see where he goes. He's got a phenomenal changeup, though, which, as we know right now, the changeup seems to be the it pitch for secondaries. It's the best way for lefties to be able to get righties out or righties to get lefties out. It's a very, very dominant pitch, and Schuster had, if not the best, right up there with Bryce Jarvis coming out of Duke in the draft. So excited to see him. Vaughn Grissom looking really, really good. They moved. He's going to split time at third and shortstop. Vaughn Grissom, another one of those names. He's in A-ball right now. He might not be there for long. Vaughn Grissom is another name. Michael Harris gets all the shine from that 2019 draft. Vaughn Grissom, though, he is another player. He is very, very talented. Keep your eye on him, as there's a lot of players who I don't know that they're going to make real inroads to the big league club this year. But there's still some good talent coming up the pipeline, and a chance for a lot of these guys to outplay maybe their initial prospect evaluations. We'll see some people knocking on the doors of the top 100. Michael Harris will be in the top 100 when they do their top 100s of midseason. I can promise you that. Overall, the system might actually be a little bit better than it says on paper, which is the first time we can say that for a while, which is good because the Braves are going to need reinforcements at some point. And speaking of the big league club, focusing on Max's start, all I wanted to see was Max go out there and look a little bit more like the Max that we saw in 2020 and the one in 2019. And we did get that. It started off, the command was a little bit spotty. It's to be expected. He's been out for a month now, but quickly kind of got to where he was going. He had the fastball up to 94 at times. I believe I saw him hit 95 or 96 early on in the outing. He actually didn't throw the curve a ton early on. I think that was kind of planned, was to go out there and establish the fastball, make sure he had his fastball command, because that is very, very important for Max. If he doesn't have the fastball command, then teams are able to sit on that curveball, and if teams are sitting on that curveball, it really lessens the effectiveness. I didn't see, actually, the first couple innings, I didn't see a lot of anything other than the fastball. He really worked the fastball. He got a lot of soft contact, which he's, you know, that's Max Fried to a T. He did give up a bomb to, I believe it was Starlin Castro, but that's one area that I want to see him kind of get back to being Max Fried, because he doesn't typically give up barrels or home runs, so maybe it was more just because it was the first start in a month. We'll see as he goes a little bit farther along. But there's no doubt about it. For Max, this was a godsend for him. This was much more accustomed to what we actually want to see Max do. He was able to mix in his off-speed later on into the game. We saw him actually throw at least four pitches. Really, you saw him throw five. He even broke out the sinker, which had me nervous because he was only throwing at about 87 to 89. And it wasn't particularly sinking. The home run ball was actually given up on the sinker, and it was just crushed. Then after that, he went right back to the fastball, the four-seam. Had the curveball working towards the end of the outing. Threw a few change-ups in there as well. I thought I saw a few sliders. Not a ton of sliders, to be honest with you, which for Max, that's another one of his really, really good pitches. I'm looking for him to start using that a little bit more as we go forward. But for Max, it was a very, very good return from injury, and something that I know he really wanted to see, because what we saw before was injured Max. I don't know if there was a mechanical adjustment. He might have just tried to be slowing himself down a little bit, and maybe he was tipping. That's something that Drew Smyly was doing too. We'll talk about that here in a second with Drew Smyly, but maybe Max figured something out, just one little small piece. His delivery kind of necessitates that he remains on point with his mechanics, because he has a little bit, he's got a decent amount of moving parts and pieces in there. He's got to keep his timing right, and that's one of the things. When his timing is right, it allows his deception to play up. But anytime you have one of those type of motions, if your timing is off or your mechanics are off at all, then you're not going to be throwing nearly as well. We've seen that mostly with really tall guys like Chad Sabatka. But you'll see it with guys that have, or Ian Anderson. We've talked about it with Ian Anderson. You have a very particular style of delivering, and it's one that requires you to be very precise. Then if you're not precise, it can really kind of hurt you. But overall for Max, it was a very, very good outing. I was so relieved to see it. Because for the Braves to do what the Braves want to do, Max has to be Max. You're not going to see Soroka until June. At this point, I'm starting to wonder if you're really going to see him in June, if they're just going to hold him out till after the All-Star break. You might as well do that at this point. Wascar Noah has been a godsend, but you can't ask him to hold down the rotation all year long. If he does, fantastic. There's not a better story in baseball right now than Wascar Noah. At this point, he's one of the truly elite pitchers in baseball through this first month plus of the season, through his first four or five outings. But we'll see how he can hold up as teams maybe start seeing him a few more times through and maybe start coming up with a different game plan when we see him have to kind of go to that third pitch. We need Charlie to be the guy that we paid $15 million for. We need Drew Smyly to be the guy that Alex is willing to drop $11 million for. And then if you can do that, you can kind of figure out what's going to happen. But between Max and Wascar, you've got two outstanding arms there. I still think Charlie's going to figure it out. We'll see tonight how he looks against Philly. I want to see him go six. That's what I want to see from Charlie. Go six innings, avoid that big inning. If you give up two, maybe three earned runs in those six innings, you know what, that's fine. I can deal with that. Just don't have that one inning where you give up a four spot or where you start getting blasted a little bit. Be consistent all the way through the outing. That's all I want to see. And from Charlie, I think we'll get there. I'm hoping it's just a little bit slower for him. But Drew Smyly, if he's able to do what he did last time out, then that's a big boon for this rotation as well. Don't really know how that fifth starter is going to kick out, really. I think Ian's about to go on a big run, too. I'll say that. So I think the Braves are in a good place, even if Charlie doesn't quite figure things out. But if Charlie and Ian are both able to kind of settle down and figure this stuff out, this Braves rotation is going to be really, really good in a hurry. And the Braves are going to start just jumping up the NL East standings. We could be here at the same point next week talking about a team that's in first place in the division. We'll see what happens in this series against Philly, but it's good that it's at home. The Braves are on a long home field stretch right now, which is very nice to see. So the Braves have a chance to really make up some ground in the division and really start to set some things right. So the name of the game is going to be Freddie Freeman, but we're going to talk about Freddie a little bit more in the next segment, as well as maybe the NL East as a whole. So don't go anywhere. We will be back after this on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is a super fun site that I go to basically all the time. Anytime I want to bet some money or lose a little bit of money or try to look smarter than maybe some people think I am, I go to BetOnline. I will go to any of their fun lines. I mean, right now I've got all of my future bets laid out, my long-term plays with the NL, Major League Baseball pennants for the divisions. It's been a weird year in baseball, but I've got the faith I'm going to win some money. Maybe you guys think you're super smart, you're going to win the money too. All you got to do is go to BetOnline, sign up, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and they're going to give you a 50% deposit match. And you don't have to just do that on Major League Baseball lines, by the way. They've got boxing, they've got MMA, they've got soccer, basketball, football, all the lines. All the sports got you covered on BetOnline. All you got to do is use that promo code, like I said, LOCKEDON, and they're going to give you that 50% deposit match, which means if you put in $100, they're going to throw in 50, and you're going to have $50 of free play money that you didn't have before. So go show off how smart you are. If you think that you're better than the Vegas odds, go prove it. Put your money where your mouth is. Go to betonline.ag today. Promo code locked on. Today's episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto, family owned and operated, helping your car the way your car helps you day in and day out. They are here for you, not one of those fancy schmancy parts stores where you're going to get that big upcharge if they even have the part in stock, which usually they're not going to. They're going to end up going to the back and ordering off a place like Rock Auto, and then you're going to pay a markup for buying it in store, and nothing has really been accomplished. Cut out the middleman. Go to rockauto.com yourself. You can buy your parts without your pants. You don't have to wear pants. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you don't have to wear pants, why would you? Who wants to wear them? All you got to do, go to rockauto.com, and in that little box at the bottom of the page, it's going to ask where you heard about them. Just simply put in Locked On. Let them know that you heard from the network here. Rock Auto has all the parts and pieces for just about every car you can imagine. So if you want to do any of your stuff at home, maybe you want to change your own oil, maybe you're just looking to change your wiper blade, something simple, Rock Auto's got you covered. Maybe you need something a little bit more detailed. Maybe you need an exhaust manifold. I don't know. Rock Auto's got you covered there too. Just about every make and model of car. Make your part purchases easy by going to Rock Auto. Rock Auto, care for your car the way it cares for you. Go to rockauto.com today. Okay, time to gear up for the final segment of the show today. So, we are going to talk about Freddie Freeman, and we're going to talk about the NL East. Before we dig into Freddie, let's talk about this NL East right now, because this is the fourth straight year where we've been talking about the NL East as if it's going to be a dominant division, and it really hasn't been. This has been one of the worst divisions, at least in the National League, as a lot of the teams have been massively, massively underperforming. The Phillies, the Mets, the Braves, they came in with really high expectations, particularly the Braves and the Braves and the Mets, particularly the Mets. And it's been such a weird year to start beginning. Just to begin with, I mean, you're seeing guys like Francisco Lindor has been awful. Freddie's been awful. The Twins, the Braves, the Yankees, they've all been fairly bad teams for the most part, at least super inconsistent. You're not seeing the type of season that we expected out of the gates. And it's good. I mean, it's good to have a lot of parity in baseball. It's one of the reasons why baseball is such a good sport, especially compared with a lot of the other ones like the NBA, in my opinion, is that you have a lot more parity. You've got a lot more superstars around the league than you did, and you've got, I don't know if I'll say superstar, but you've got a lot of star players around the league that you don't have before. A lot of these teams, even if they're not good teams, have some really, really good players, and it's allowing teams to, at least early on, kind of stay fairly close. And I still expect it to right itself coming off of last year's very weird year. I still think that's probably a bigger part of it. I do think that it's going to right itself. I'll say that. I think the month of May, you're going to start to see the teams kind of figure out the way that we kind of all thought they would. I think you'll see the Braves and the Mets really make a big run here, as the Mets, their offense is a very good offense. It's going to open up pretty quick. Their defense is still awful. But their pitching staff is really good, and they're going to start making some moves. The Phillies right now are one of the few teams. I think they're the only team in the division actually above 500 right now. They're 17-15. Braves 15-17, so we'll see what happens after this series. But the Phillies have been playing pretty well. Bryce Harper has been a really, really good player offensively this year, despite getting hit in the face. He's been a very, very good player. JT Realmuto has been good too. Their pitching staff has actually been pretty good. Nola has been outstanding. So yes, Phillies fans, you will hear me give Aaron Nola some praise. I will still say that I would take Max Fried over Aaron Nola any day, and you're not going to change my mind, but Aaron Nola has been really, really good. Just not quite as good as Oscar Anoa. Zach Wheeler, he's been kind of hit or miss, but when he's been good, he has been really, really good. He actually threw a complete game yesterday to get the win. I still think the Braves are the best team in this division. I still think that they're the most well-rounded team in this division. The bullpen still scares me. Chris Martin got into the Gwinnett game. I would expect him to be called up at some point in this homestand. Maybe I would expect it to be this series versus Philadelphia, as that's kind of the one big glaring hole, is the Braves just don't have a right-handed reliever that they feel comfortable going to. Edgar Santana's been up here for all of like three games, and he's been thrust right into some high-leverage situations. And he's got great movement. He's got really great stuff. That's one of the things. The command is going to be spotty for a long time this year. Second year from Tommy John, it's not that uncommon. The Yankees are going through it with Jameson Taillon right now. But it's to be expected a little bit. He is a very, very talented arm, though, and I do think that as the season goes on, he'll get there. I think if the Braves are going to be willing to move Jacyl De La Cruz to the bullpen, you'll see him in Atlanta very quickly, and he's a guy that has high-impact potential in that back end. Tukey's going to be back at some point relatively quickly. I think Tukey is another guy that I think the Braves... I think they might have misplayed that a little bit. I thought that they believed that their bullpen would be a little bit more consistent and that they'd be able to put Tukey on the 60-day and it wouldn't be that big of a deal. From the initial injury, it probably didn't need the 60-day, to be honest. He still probably would have been out for about a month, but they went ahead and put him on the 60-day, and it's kind of costing them right now, especially when Chris Martin went down. I think Tukey is going to be an elite back-end reliever. And I say back-end reliever because the actual designation of closer – to me, doesn't really matter all that much anymore. Whoever, the high leverage is what I care about. I don't really care who gets the final three outs. I really care who pitches in the highest leverage, be that the sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning. Don't really care. Whatever situation, who do you trust to go to in the highest leverage situation? For the Braves to be able to have guys, once you get Martin back going to kind of full tilt, you'll have Smith, Martin. I think you'll have Tukey at that point too. Matzik, I'd like to see Matzik kind of figure it out. Matzik is going to be a very key piece to this bullpen and to how deep the Braves can go this year. It has not been the season that we were expecting from him. Hopefully he's able to get it turned around here quickly. Minter, take out the Marlins games, and Minter's been elite. It hasn't always looked elite, but he's been very, very good. And I kind of wish Snit would stop using him in blowout games and wasting him for close games, because we could have used him in some of these close games instead of biting my nails all the way through and having to live through Santana and the Luke Jackson experience. But overall, Minter has been much better than he's appeared in some games. The command has been kind of spotty, so he's been throwing a lot of balls. But his results have been very, very good. And his underlying numbers are very, very good, too. So there's no reason to say that things are going to go badly. If anything, you can say he's probably going to start picking up here relatively soon and go back to the AJ Minter that we knew and loved from 2020. But I think that that's kind of what you're going to be looking at for the bullpen. If Drew Smyly is able to continue pitching like he did yesterday, then he'll stay in the rotation. If he's not, then he'll get added to that bullpen at some point too, because $11 million, you don't want to pay a reliever $11 million, but if your team is better with him in the bullpen than with him in the starting rotation, that's what's going to happen. This Braves team, as I've mentioned and as the team has mentioned a number of times, they aren't panicked. They think that they're going to turn this around pretty quickly, and it's all going to hinge on Freddie Freeman. I mentioned Ozuna is heating up. I think he's about to go on one of his really big runs here where he starts carrying a team, similar to what Austin Riley's been doing. I think you're going to start to see Ozuna hitting that big heat moment, that NBA jam. He's on fire! You're going to start seeing that from Marcelo Ozuna. It's Freddie Freeman that I want to see get going. And it's been a really rough year from Freddie for pretty much every perspective. When he started off, the surface numbers weren't there, but he was hitting the ball hard, and the slugging, you could say, all right, the slugging's going to be here. Right now, he's just not performing very well, and that's very un-Freddie-like. He's been late on a lot of fastballs that he has no business being late on. He's just missing, and I think once he kind of gets that timing down, then you're going to start to see Freddie start ripping. When you start seeing Freddie hit balls hard the opposite way, you're going to start to see him really tune into his game. Then that's when you're going to start seeing him crushing balls to the right center gap and to straightaway center. You're going to start seeing him hitting a ton of doubles and hitting a ton of homers. And I think that we're getting close to that point. At least I hope we are. I can't imagine Freddie, as good as he is offensively, struggling like this all season. But I would have said the same thing about Francisco Lindor. I do think that baseball is going to start righting itself. The Dodgers aren't going to be this bad for this long. The Padres aren't going to be bad for this long. The Giants are going to come back down to earth. It's just a weird start to this year. And maybe it was the late start last year kind of filtering over to this year. Maybe a lot of guys' bodies weren't really ready for this season to start. I don't really know. All I know is for the Braves, I think it's going to be a big month of May. Dansby's got to get going, because if he's not hitting, at some point, A-Ray Adrianza has been very good. And he's a very good defender in his own right. So Dansby doesn't have the security of position the same way a lot of these other guys do. Like, if Austin had continued playing very badly, he probably would have been replaced by Adrianza or Pablo Sandoval. But Riley started mashing the ball, started lifting the ball, started mashing, kept his eye at the plate, and Riley has been performing exceptionally. Now it's Dansby. Dansby's got to pick that up too, because Adrianza can play shortstop. The Braves don't really have anybody else in the minor leagues under them, although there are a few guys I'm going to really be watching. Guys like Jalen Miller, even though he's a second baseman. Braden Shoemake is at Double-A, so if he has a torrid start to the season, I wouldn't be shocked to see him get up to Gwinnett fairly quickly. And for Dansby, this is a very important year for him. He could be non-tendered after this year. At the rate that he's playing right now, he'll be non-tendered. There's no reason to pay him in an offseason that's going to have a million great shortstops. Dansby's got to figure this stuff out. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I do think the Braves' offense is going to start really performing, and I think the starting rotation is going to start being the starting rotation again, starting tonight with Charlie Morton. It's going to be that bullpen. I know that's what I'm watching for. I'm hoping that we can do this kind of show next week and I can talk about the Braves being in first place. But for whatever the case is, I got to go ahead and end the show for today. Get ready to go to the regular 9-to-5-er, blah, 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 all that good boring stuff there. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's been a fun week. Enjoy all of you who came on the locker room with me last night. Remember, I will be doing those every Thursday at 9 p.m. I encourage all of you to come in and jump on, even if you just want to try it out. But to be able to come on and just have the big powwow session is always a lot of fun. So thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for listening to this episode and for downloading the show. Remember to like and subscribe so you can be kept up to date whenever a new show drops. Thank you guys, and we'll be back on Monday right here on Locked On Braves.